Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got lots to talk about today. We'll get to Roseanne. Maybe there is a way back for her. We'll get to President Trump. He had the summit yesterday with Kim. It was Kim Kardashian. We'll get to Mayor de Blasio, his war with the press. We'll get to, where do you hear what President Obama's getting for this Netflix deal? Looks like we need a special prosecutor to look into this deal. And we'll get to more famous retail stores that are closing. So President Trump, it looks like this Kim Jong-un summit is on. They're making tremendous progress. Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State, and the equivalent from North Korea, they've had long meetings, hours and hours. Yesterday, they're going to meet for another 4 hours today. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but I think they have to have some assurances that something's going to get done there. They're just not going to shake hands and then walk away and not come away with something, right?
No, not necessarily. You could do.
Well, you're going to have some kind of assurance.
Well, no, you could do an opening meeting, a round one meeting. You could have be a series of meetings. It doesn't have to be all done in one meeting. Even the lousy Iran deal, which stunk, that was a few meetings. So for a good deal, you could have multiple meetings.
Yeah, but that stuff is done by Pompeo and this guy Chole, whoever's here in New York.
Yeah, but the fact that 4 hours yesterday, 4 hours today, hey, that's longer than the tarmac meeting. That was only an hour, and look what they got accomplished in that. 4 hours. What the hell could you... Who would want these jobs? Did you see this North Korean minister of...
Yeah.
I would like to spend 4 hours with that guy.
I would not want to be working for Kim Jong-un.
Or, no, but that guy, did you see the North Korean, whatever he was? I mean, if you were on a plane and you had to sit next to this guy for 4 hours, you'd put your headphones on right away. So the president has a good point about Roseanne, a very good point. You know, he tweeted yesterday that Bob Iger called Valerie Jarrett to apologize, and he said, I've been trashed. Nobody had worse things said about him by ABC. Where was my phone call? It's a pretty good point. Now, here's what's fascinating about this. The first day, the media spent the whole day trying to figure out how to make this story about Donald Trump. Desperately, they tried to make it about Donald Trump. They kept trying, how can we make this about Donald Trump? So finally, he tweets, and then they actually start writing, why is he making it about him? How dare he make this about him? So he's got a good point. Nobody has said worse things than this Keith Olbermann. I can't even begin to read the tweet to you. It's so vulgar. It's up on my Twitter page if you want to see it. But it's very X-rated. It's just vulgar. And this is this lunatic, this maniac who's been fired from every place. Just anybody that's ever worked with him, tell you he's a nut, a maniac, tweets the most vile, vulgar tweets about Trump. This is Keith Olbermann. Yeah. He just got hired by Iger to work at ESPN on the air. That's another Iger company. So what? That's not a colossal industrial strength double standard?
I don't know. I think the issue was it's racist.
Well, that's terrible. But what about Joy Behar going on The View and saying that Christianity is a mental illness? Where was the apology from Iger? It's a good point.
Yeah, that was a serious one, too. Sure, yeah.
It's a very good point. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked about this.
This is a double standard that the president is speaking about. No one is defending her comments. They're inappropriate, but that's what the point that he was making. I'm not aware of any conversations that have taken place. The president simply calling out the media bias. No one's defending what she said.
Yeah, you know, part of the reporter's question, and she didn't respond to this, but the reporter said no. Roseanne, who's been longtime close friends with President Trump, I don't know that they've ever met more than 5 minutes. Or I think he called her after the success of the show. That's about the extent of the friendship.
Where was Bob Iger's apology to the White House staff for Jemele Hill calling the president and anyone associated with him a white supremacist? To Christians around the world for Joy Behar calling Christianity a mental illness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is a good point. Where there is a double standard here. So there's no way she comes back to ABC. Roseanne is finished there. But I don't know. There might be a way back. Now, the problem is most of these media companies are so left-wing, Trump-hating, Democratic companies, they're not going to want to hire her. And this gives them the perfect excuse, no matter how successful the show is. Netflix, very left-wing company. Susan Rice is on the board after she was caught lying about that video. The Obama deal. You know how much you're getting?
What?
$50 million.
Whoa.
Now, it's a production deal, and you say, well, it's not, they don't get $50 million. They get $50 million to produce shows.
Yeah, right.
Okay. But they could spend a dollar producing shows if they want.
Well, you got to come up with a show.
$50 million to two people who have never, ever, ever have produced any television show. They have no experience. That doesn't look a little slippery to you, that deal?
It's private enterprise.
Put together by a huge donor who works at Netflix.
But it's private enterprise.
Now, they put out a statement to justify this while saying, as a man who was president of the United States, his contacts, his knowledge.
Yeah, right.
Well, then, how come George Bush didn't get the same deal?
Well, he didn't have the contacts like that. No.
How come Bill Clinton did the same deal? When did Jimmy Carter get the deal? Just President Obama, because he can help them right now. He can pick up the phone and get things done for them. So, hey, Roseanne, in one of those tweets, do you remember she tried to blame Ambien?
Yes.
How do you say it? Ambien?
Ambien.
And it's, what is it? Basically a sleeping pill.
Sleeping pill, yeah.
Wait a minute here. If you look at the side effects.
Yeah, there are some pretty severe side effects.
Yeah, now this is from WebMD. Now, forget going to the company list of side effects. You want a neutral third party.
Yeah, right.
WebMD checks with all sorts of sources. But they list as side effects of Ambien, not likely, but in some cases serious side effects. You could have memory loss, mental mood behavior changes, abnormal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
There you go.
Hallucinations, confusion, agitation, aggressive behavior.
Well, maybe she's got a case.
Well, yeah, I don't think so, but it is in the side effects that you could behave like that. So, I don't know. We don't even know that she takes Ambien. Of course, they're trying to figure out the time period here. She lives in Hawaii, but nobody's quite sure if she was in Hawaii or Los Angeles. I think if she was in Hawaii, it was 3:30 in the morning, which would indicate the Ambien's not working.
Hey, that's true.
Actually, sometimes
Michael Riedel said he has taken it and he's actually gotten up in the middle of the night and sat in a chair and read a book and never realized he had done that.
Well, I didn't read that part, but that's also in the side effects, that you can get up and do things without knowing it. They say you could even get up and cook and eat. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's happened a lot.
Who the hell takes these drugs?
You got to really have a problem to use that.
Nuts to take this stuff. And it's supposed to put you to sleep?
Yes.
Well, how does it put you to sleep? If you're able to get up and go read a book, obviously it's not putting you to sleep.
Well, your brain is asleep.
Yeah, but if you didn't take the Ambien, and one of the side effects listed there, it actually said insomnia. It could keep you up in some cases.
Oh, that's great.
So, but here Roseanne is, remember first she said, that's it, I'm leaving Twitter, goodbye. Now she's tweeting all the time. Now listen to this tweet. One stupid joke. In a lifetime of fighting for civil rights for all minorities against network studios at the expense of my nervous family. She's not wrong about that. If you go back and study her history, she has fought for all those things. And nobody remembers this, but years ago in the original Roseanne, she wanted to put in a gay character, which was totally unacceptable at the time. And she battled the network to do that.
This is amazing turnaround, because just the other day there was nobody coming to her defense. And now... not so bad.
She may turn this around with that argument, because I went back and I started looking at old interviews, videos. There was one where she was on CNN. I'll post it tomorrow. It was her and Ted Nugent, the very conservative Ted Nugent, and she was arguing against him. This is not that long ago. It was 2008, and she was a very, very liberal Democrat arguing against Ted Nugent, and she was... Alec Baldwin came up. She goes, I agree with Alec Baldwin on everything. The truth is, she may be a liberal Democrat. She might have just been playing this Trump role.
Wow.
Just for that. So we'll see. She may find a way back. It's not going to be on ABC, but you never know.
Wow.
Here's the problem with, this company called Carsey Werner. They were the biggest TV producers in the 80s. They hit big with The Cosby Show. That was the biggest show in television. Then Roseanne was next. They had a couple others. I can't remember. They had three or four of the biggest shows on television. That happens when you get the number one show. They come to you and say, produce some other shows. You know, it happened with Mary Tyler Moore, happened with Norman Lear. And you end up with four or five major shows on. So Carsey Werner did that. They had the two biggest shows in syndication. When Cosby went into syndication, it was the biggest deal ever. $1 billion on the first round.
Ooh.
And then Roseanne, almost the same amount of money. Now, in just one small period here, two shows have been taken out of syndication, Cosby and Roseanne. That's all the same company, Carsey Werner. So they're very wealthy, but a tremendous amount of income being lost right away.
It's interesting.
In this one company. Hey, and Harvey Weinstein indicted. He did not testify at the grand jury. The lawyer said he didn't have time to prepare for testimony. What the hell's he been doing for 8 months?
Well, I don't know. I think he might get off.
Really?
I really do. I mean, first of all, Braffman's a very good attorney.
Very good.
Very good. And the one woman who is accusing him of rape had a 10-year relationship with him, had sex after she allegedly was raped.
Well, that doesn't count, though.
Well, I know.
You can still rape somebody.
But it's going to be hard to convince a jury of that.
Yeah, but Cy Vance is a smart, shrewd DA, and guys like him, very calculating, they don't bring the case.
But he didn't want to bring the case.
Well, but he had a lot of cases to choose from. He picked these two.
Yeah.
So he's careful. He wouldn't bring it unless he was sure he could do it. Hey, you remember Dinesh D'Souza?
He's
a conservative. He's a writer. He's a pundit, professor. He's a lot of things. A very smart guy. And he was convicted of illegal campaign contribution. He was trying to give money to one of the, I think it was a Senate candidate.
Wendy Long,
and he had a couple of people donate, and he reimbursed them. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to do that. It's actually illegal. But it goes on all the time. And he was prosecuted pretty much because he was a conservative. The government was after him. Obama was after him. Preet Bharara did the case.
Didn't de Blasio do that?
To do what? Yeah.
Straw donors?
Yeah, straw donors goes on all the time. It's very, very common. Now, Preet Bharara was right when he put out a statement saying, this is illegal. If you do it, you'll get convicted. But there is a big asterisk on that. If you're not somebody they're targeting, they probably won't ever investigate you and find it. So they were targeting Dinesh D'Souza. They were targeting this guy because he was a very effective conservative voice. They went after him. They got him on this. The president yesterday, he was convicted, by the way. Did he go to jail? I don't remember.
I don't think he went to jail.
He was convicted. It was a pretty serious thing. But the president yesterday gave him a full pardon, which is, it's well-deserved. It was a minor thing. It goes on all the time. They only looked at him because they were out to silence him. So he has been pardoned. That's good. Also, the big Kim summit was yesterday. Kim Kardashian. She was there to everybody's laughing, but... And the president
wasn't it a stupid picture that they have in the paper today?
Yeah, it looks stupid. There's Kim Kardashian in the Oval Office. Finally, she's got something on Instagram. they forget to mention this goes on every day with every single president. You could do this to any president. If you went back to Gerald Ford, there was Wayne Newton visiting. Mm-hmm. There were Donnie and Marie Osmond were visiting. If you went the Obama administration, every crazy comedian, singer, rap star, everybody was visiting. If you wanted to, you could splash these pictures all over the place. If you look at a president's schedule, it's a meeting with the cabinet. It's a meeting with the Secretary of Agriculture. And then somewhere in the middle there, it's a meeting with Chris Rock. Or something like that. It's always stuff like that. And in this case, Kim Kardashian was there to talk about prison reform. What the hell does she know about prison reform?
Exactly.
Does she know anything about it?
No. She read a story about some woman that she thinks should be released.
Well, but there was another kid. Didn't she have a grandfather, a great-grandfather, who was, I think he was in prison. Something happened to somebody.
Those Kardashians, you know.
She was fighting for him. Yeah, remember her father, Robert Kardashian,
yeah, right.
Hiding the suitcase for OJ. So that was yesterday. What else? You know, also, there's some legal experts now saying Jeff Sessions can unrecuse himself, that he no longer needs to be recused, because the Mueller investigation is not investigating the campaign or Trump. Nothing they're investigating involves that. Manafort, it's about his consulting business from years ago. With Flynn, it's about his side deals as a consultant. With Cohen, it's about his taxicab business. So far, there's nothing in this investigation that has anything to do with Trump or the campaign. So there's no reason at the moment for Sessions to be recused.
Well, the fact that the campaign manager, former campaign manager, was indicted.
Not for anything to do with the campaign.
Yeah. Actually, it's an interesting point. I don't know if it would hold up.
Why wouldn't it hold up? There's nothing in this investigation that concerns the campaign or Donald Trump. Nothing. Not anything.
So far.
So far, it's pretty much over now. It's a year. And the Michael Cohen stuff is all about his taxi cab business. And first of all, Cohen had no involvement with the campaign and very little involvement with Trump. And he wasn't Trump's lawyer on much of anything except just little personal stuff. He wasn't his lawyer for his business. He wasn't his lawyer for the campaign. So he is, Trump, Cohen has no connection to the campaign. So there's no reason at this moment for Sessions to be recused. So people now might push for him to unrecuse. Hey, by the way.
Would he do it?
This weasel will always do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Hey, the other thing is Michael Cohen had shredded some documents. And this is normal. In every lawyer's office, there's a shredder. They're always shredding documents. Now, you buy yourself one of those expensive shredders. It comes out like a dust. It's like a dust in a pan. Well, they've recovered all of that, and they say they can piece it back together.
That was scary when I heard that.
Yeah, just remember that if you have a shredder, especially if it cuts it into little tiny strips,
yeah,
there is software that can put that back together and reassemble that. The FBI said right now they are reassembling the documents. Just remember that if you buy a shredder, it can be reassembled by law enforcement.
Gosh.
Let's bear that in mind. Hey, check out the webpage. There's some good stuff up there. Watch this. Here's that nutty Wanda Sykes who came out against Roseanne. Watch this. She's doing her act somewhere, and she starts trashing Trump. Watch the audience boo her off the stage.
Oh.
It's a great moment. And then this, y'all, you'll love this. You can take a ride on mass transit through New York City in 1929. Look at what the subways, the trains, look at what mass transit looked like in 1929. And then you want to see some brilliant sculptures? They're sculptures that can actually move. They can walk. They can do things without electricity. Just watch how it works. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com. Then go over to the Mark Simone page. Or just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.
Put a little more Mark Simone in your day. Get his podcasts on demand at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone.
On the voice of New York.
710WOR.
Hey, let's take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Let's go to Phil in Flushing. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Mark, just in case you have any liberal listeners, part of this comment is a joke. I wanted to say that in terms of Roseanne's comment, truth is an absolute defense. Obama's policy, which was piloted by Jarrett, was a pro...
this is the joke?
Comment. This is the joke part.
But you're delivering it like it's a history lecture.
Hey, so big deal, it's ridiculous.
You know, you should stop with the jokes. Besides the fact that you sound like an idiot, it's not funny.
You know, Mark,
it's stupid. It's ridiculous. I apologize. He's always been a bad caller. And he didn't mean it. He's just trying to be funny, but a little stupid. Let's go to Joel in Virginia. Hey, Joel.
Good morning, Mark. As a follow-up on Ambien, there have been many cases of people that have been found in their cars having driven with Ambien in them, and they woke up in the car not even knowing that they had been driving. So that happens a lot. It depends on the formulation. Now, a question in reference to Dinesh D'Souza. The president is giving Dinesh D'Souza a full pardon. Do you see anything similar like of that type ever happening with Jonathan Pollard?
No, I don't think so. That's a more serious case. Dinesh D'Souza didn't do much of anything. I know it's technically illegal, but everybody does it all the time. That's different with Jonathan Pollard. The Ambien, you know, I'm getting emails from a lot of listeners who were on Ambien. One guy says he took the Ambien and he didn't realize it till later, but he went downstairs and cooked a whole dinner.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
What the hell is this drug?
And you're supposed to be asleep.
You know, you ever take a NyQuil? Boom, right out. You passed out for 10 hours.
Yeah.
So what do you need this fancy Ambien for?
I don't know.
And people said they've gotten in their cars, they're driving. Now, these Kennedys.
That's not good.
These Kennedys, whenever they crash into somebody, Kerry Kennedy, was it a couple of Kennedys have used the Ambien defense in a courtroom. Because you always say to yourself, well, why would you take Ambien if you're getting in your car to drive somewhere? But apparently there are cases where people do it. They don't realize they're doing it. Let's go to Frank in Long Island. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Marco. I wanted to tell you, Dinesh D'Souza did go to jail.
Yeah.
And Rosie O'Donnell broke the campaign laws 5 or 6 times in the 2016 election. And I wonder if she's going to jail.
Well, that's a good example of what I'm saying. That just came out recently about Rosie O'Donnell. That's what I'm saying. This goes on all the time with straw donors. It happens all the time. That's how they got Dinesh D'Souza. They know it goes on all the time. You look for it, you could find it. They just don't look for it most of the time. He was targeted because he was a conservative and he was saying things about the administration. The administration targeted him. If I had to guess, it wasn't even Preet Bharara. Like, word came down. And you know, when you watch Billions and the attorney general shows up at your house.
The general, yeah.
The general mentions a case to you. And, the U.S. attorney says, are you telling me I have to prosecute that? He goes, I'm just giving you guidance.
That was a good line.
That's the way it works. Hey, Warren Buffett almost bought, you know, whatever Buffett buys, everybody's, looking for that. That's the key to everything. If you can figure out what Buffett's buying, apparently he was close to buying a ton of Uber stock.
Mm.
But a lot of times, sometimes Buffett just goes into the open market and buys the stock. That's when he really knows it's a great stock. But sometimes he goes in there, and remember with Salomon Brothers, he wouldn't just buy the stock. He didn't think it was worth it. So he went in and made a deal to get a special price on a special stock. Apparently, it looks like that's what he's trying to do with Uber. They were negotiating. So that means don't go just buy the stock. It means he was looking at some kind of special deal. A discounted price. So that was what make it worth it. But that's a pretty good sign. They say Uber is growing because it's expanding into so many other areas. And apparently Uber Eats is becoming a big deal where they pick up your food for you. You know, a lot of people say, I wish I could afford an Uber. Here's a guy who has his cheeseburger riding around in an Uber. So it's a big, I thought it was stupid. Who wants this illegal alien
driving picking up your food?
Yeah, picking up your food. He probably stops and picks up passengers too. You got a half-eaten cheeseburger. But apparently Uber Eats is working. It's growing like crazy. The other thing everybody's looking at, Airbnb is going to go public maybe next year. People think that's going to be huge, that stock. Airbnb.
I think there are too many Uber drivers.
Now, it could be, but Uber is getting bigger and bigger. Hey, and the thing with Airbnb, do you know right now it is the single largest hotel chain in the world?
I've never used it, but I know a lot of people who have.
Everybody's using it now. Yeah. It's bigger than Hilton. It's bigger than Marriott. It is getting bigger. It's not public yet, but if it does, that'll be a huge stock. When we come back, Steve Moore, he's one of the president's economic team. He, Larry Kudlow, Art Laffer put together we'll find out what's next. What there's going to be another round of tax cuts, another round of something. Let's see if we can get it out of him.
Mark Simone
on 710 WOR.
Well, Steve Moore is one of the smartest guys around him, one of the best economists in the world. That's why President Trump always includes him in the team. And you can read his columns and, of course, Freedom Works and Heritage and CNN and Wall Street Journal. Steve Moore, how you doing?
Hi, Mark. I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for the nice intro.
Hey, by the way, what's your last book? What was it called? It was a great book.
Oh, that book is called Fueling Freedom on the Shale Oil and Gas Revolution in America. And by the way, that's what's going to save us from these high gas prices, by the way, is the big increase in production that's now going on in Texas and Oklahoma and North Dakota as OPEC reduces their oil output to try to raise prices. We're increasing our oil output to stabilize the prices. So a little bit of good news may be coming on gas prices in the weeks to come.
Yeah, Fueling Freedom. It's a great book. Now, what's going on here with the whole new round of tariffs, including Europe, Mexico? What's going to happen?
Well, I wish I knew. And, that's one of the few things that I've disagreed with Donald Trump on is some of his tariff policies. We've got a couple big things coming up here, Mark. First of all, we've got NAFTA, right? And it looks like the negotiations, it's hard to tell where those are at. They broke down a couple of weeks ago. I'm a big fan of NAFTA. I do think it needs to be modernized because that passed, 25 years ago. But it's been good for the North American continent, especially as we compete against Europe and Asia. I'm a little nervous about that. We'll see. Because remember, during the campaign, Mark, Trump called NAFTA, the worst trade deal in the history of the world or something like that. I happen to disagree with him on that. But the other big thing that's going on is what's happening with China now. And these negotiations, and our mutual buddy Larry Kudlow is in the middle of that almost as we speak. And we need some kind of resolution where China I'm a hardliner, by the way, Mark, when it comes to China. I agree with Trump on this, that we've got to get very tough with China. They're cheating. They're stealing. They're not playing by the rules. They make it very, very difficult, if not impossible, for so many of our American businesses to do business over there in China. And that's got to stop, because Trump is right. They've been laughing behind our back as we open our markets to them. And they basically have closed their markets to our businesses.
Hey, now, would you explain this to people? Because I don't think people are fully aware of this. When any company, big companies, go over to do business in China, whether it's Apple or anything, you have to make them partners in your business and you have to share the technology with them?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. And of course, you have to sort of share the patents and the technology and the innovation.
Well, wait, you have to show them the patents and how it works?
Well, practically, I mean, you know, these are complicated rules, and you know, China isn't a nation that really is a nation of rules and laws as we are. They sort of make it up as they go along. But I've talked to businessmen and women who said, yeah, you know, they in some cases they demand, you know, 40% ownership of the company if you want to sell stuff over there, and then once they have a partial ownership, then they can get hold of the technologies. And look, China is a copycat technology country. They are not real innovators like we are in Silicon Valley and so many areas of the United States where we're developing these amazing technologies. What happens is we invent this stuff, and then it goes over to China, and then they basically figure out how we did it. And, you know, there's something called a patent when you develop a new, you know, a new formula or a new technique or some invention. And, you know, this has been part of, law for 200 years, that when you invent a patent, you invent something that you have the ownership of it. But China has really disregarded these. This is the stealing of our intellectual property, which is a big problem right now. We estimate $300 to $400 billion is stolen by the Chinese. And that can't continue.
You know, when the Democrats talk about this little minuscule Russia tampering with whatever, China tampers with everything. They tamper with our food supply, our technology. It's the worst tampering ever. Why can't we stop this?
You know, that's a really good point. I'm going to steal that on CNN tonight, because you're exactly right.
Well,
Russia is a third world country, right? I mean, other than having oil and gas, Russia, there's not much of a real first world economy in Russia. But China is an emerging power, right? And their economy is four times bigger than Russia's is. And you're right, they are meddling. They are stealing our stuff, and nobody wants to talk about that in the liberal media. But Trump is taking them on, and I don't know how this is going to turn out, by the way. I mean, he is threatened to slap them with $50 to $100 billion of tariffs on their products that are coming into the United States if they don't change their ways. And right now what you've got is a Mexican standoff.
Now, Chinese, they're famous for their long-term 100-year strategy.
Yeah.
So you think they're just thinking to themselves, all right, we got this tough guy who's going to stand up to us, but we just got to wait 6 years and we'll get a regular politician back.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, what's really interesting is, you know, look, as I said earlier, I applaud the fact that Trump is going toe-to-toe with China here and saying, stop, this can't continue anymore. And if you think about it, you know, going back to Bush and then Clinton and then, you know, George W. Bush and Obama, we've had kind of a policy of appeasement when it's come to China. We wanted them to, you know, develop and, you know, become a richer country and move away from communism. Although what's happened in the last year or so, Mark, is they've actually moved in the wrong direction. There's much more state ownership rather than privatization. You saw their president, Xi, is now, what, president for life, so much for democratic elections. So, you know, they do have a plan. They're patient. Now, they're not so patient, though. Their plan is, have you heard of this one, Mark? It's called Made in China 2025. And what that is a plan to dominate almost every technology industry and the robotics industry, all of these, you know, space, all of this stuff by the year 2025. They have a plan. Now, are they going to get there? I'm kind of doubtful, because it's so much central planning there in China. We know from history that central planning doesn't work very well, but they're very disciplined. And you're right, patient is a good word to describe them.
Yeah. But we have a massive investigation into whether Russia put up a couple of little Facebook ads. And what you just said sounds like the most frightening thing ever. Let's investigate that.
It is.
This is the issue of our time. You know, it really is. I mean, I get so frustrated when I go on CNN and they keep talking about, you know, they talk about, you know, Stormy, and they talk about, you know, did Trump say this racist thing or that, and da 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 da. But the big story, you know, that's going to have reverberations for the next generation is whether or not the United States of America, this great country of ours, remains the superpower. And are we going to look back 20 years from now, Mark, and say, what the hell were we doing? Why did we give them all our technologies? It's like selling, you know, steel to the Nazis, you know, before the start of World War II.
Exactly.
And that's a little exaggeration, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, sometimes you'll look back and you'll say, why did we do that?
Yeah, China is tampering with every inch of our country, and nobody's looking at it. They're looking at Russia from some Twitter bots. So everybody gets...
Yeah, it's a problem, and Trump, you know, and Larry goes over there. I've talked to him, and he said, you know, it's hard to get any concessions from the Chinese. And you know, also, you know, one of the things when I've talked to Trump about this, I said, I believe in the Reagan doctrine. You remember that, Mark? It's trust but verify. You know, if you get a deal with these people, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to keep their word. You know, you've got to have verification that they are doing this. And you know, when we're running these gigantic deficits with them. And look, there's one other point about this I think is important. I think Trump understands something that a lot of people in the media don't understand. China needs the United States a lot more than we need them. I mean, their economy can't function if they're not selling us at Walmart, you know, toothpaste and toys and, you know, all of the stuff they bring over here. Now, it benefits American consumers. It's cheap stuff. But, you know, with they can't sell that stuff to us, and they don't have access to our, what, $10 trillion consumer market, they're screwed.
Yeah.
And we ought to use that card to get them to behave themselves.
Good point. Well, Steve Moore, always great talking to you. Very interesting stuff. And read Steve Moore's columns and follow him on Twitter. And get his book, Fueling Freedom. That's a really good book. And we'll see you on CNN. And Steve Moore, thanks for being with us.
Okay, Mark, have a great weekend. All right. Take care.
Oh, and everybody check out the webpage. There's some good stuff up there. Hey, watch this. This is Nutty Wanda Sykes. She's on stage, and she starts trashing Donald Trump. Watch her get booed off the stage for it. And, take a ride on on mass transit in New York City. But this is fascinating. It's a ride on mass transit in 1929 through New York City. Look what the trains look like in 1929. And then you want to see some amazing sculpture. It actually moves. Without electricity, watch how it works. It's brilliant. It's up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com, then go over to the Mark Simone page, or you can just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.